Fish number 18220, Dame Marion Catterwell, reel 5, followed after a pause by reel 6.
Dame Marion Catterwell, and this would be reel 5.
Dame Marion. This is our second go, isn't it? Yes, having left Hinstock, was it a fairly automatic decision for you to stay on in the Wrens?
Well, no, it wasn't.
When I actually left Hinstock,
I thought I was leaving the service because we'd all put in our applications and I was told that, that there were too many already and they didn't want me. So I was thinking in terms of going back. I had to get a job, but going back to my civilian employment. But before that happened, they asked me to be a relief first officer for 4 Wren officers in air stations who were having their end of war leave. And so I had the most wonderful summer, which 47 was very beautiful, visiting 2 months at a time at Arbroath, at Edmonton, which was HMS Fieldfare, and over in Ireland at HMS Gannet, and finally 2 months at the Ogleton in Somerset. And as the outcome of that, the commanding officers recommended me, I didn't know at the time, but when I came away from those jobs, I was told I could reapply. I think the chief officer, Hoyer Miller, who was at Arbroath, had something to do with this, because she was in charge of the air stations up in that area at the time. Anyhow, I then, in the winter, started my own end of war leave before, and my first appointment in the permanent service was to HMS Ceres in Weatherby, which is the Pen Secretarial Training Establishment. And here, the men had a camp up at York Road, one side of the main road, and the Wrens had Moorlands camp down by the racecourse, and we were kept quite separate. And this was for the training of Wren's writers and stores, and the Wren officer's secretarial course, which was again quite separate to the men. And with the Wren writers, the difference between the men was that the Wren specialised in one aspect of writers or stores. They would be a writer general or shorthand or pay, whereas the men did the whole lot because when they went to sea they would need to do all this. Soon we were accommodated in huts. Thank goodness now the ablution blocks in this case were part of the hut, so they didn't have to go out. And there was an immediate problem as soon as I got there. The council yard opposite the main gate, and the caretaker suddenly arrived with a Wren and a naval rating and frog marched them into the regulating office and said he was going to the council because he'd found condoms in the yard. So I assured him I would clear up the matter. So I cleared lower deck and talked to Wren and had a notice put up saying out of bounds to naval personnel, and we didn't have further trouble after that. And then we had a new captain who was a challenge to us all, including his charming and talented wife. And I was always grateful, and I'd like to put this in, because it was something I learned. His young secretary told me not to let him see that I was apprehensive or worried about anything, he said to me. And that was one of the most useful bits of advice I ever had in the Navy. It stood me in good stead with him. And when he was doing rounds once in the storeroom, he snapped. He was a Stores naval officer, an expert in that. His cane, he beat a cardboard box and said, "I don't know that sort of store." And there was a deathly hush. The chief officer was there at the time doing a round too, and nobody answered. And so from the back of the queue where I was following up, I said, "Sanitary towels, sir." And of course that was something which the rounds were issued with, and I had a packet. And for a short time they got too full up at York Road, and although they said they weren't going to do it, they marched two platoons of naval trainees down to our spare huts. And the captain said I was in charge of them. But I'm glad to say that didn't last very long.
Did you have any problems, though, while they were there?
The captain wanted me to separate the canteens, and I said no, because if they were in the canteen, taking my courage and shit from this young lieutenant's advice, I said no, I wouldn't separate the men from the rooms. The trainees would use one canteen, they had two, and the ship's company would use the other. We did have to stop them sitting on each other's knees, but they were better there in the canteen than somewhere else. We had some very excellent Wren officers there at the time, quite junior, but they were very gifted in theatre and one in running a choir. And these contributed quite a lot to the whole establishment. And in fact, the captain spoiled them rather.
At this stage, this would have been the late 1940s, am I right?
Yes.
Yes.
I went there in the beginning of 48, and I was there until 49.
Yes. This would have been the sort of Cold War, wouldn't it? The sort of years of the Cold War. Was this a time when the Navy were expanding, and the women's side as well, would you say? Were things sort of growing?
I wouldn't have used the word expanding, because quite a lot of stations were beginning to close down, the ones that were some of the air stations that have been very temporary, like the one at Edmonton or Anthorn. So I wasn't aware. We always had a good recruiting and a good quality of recruits. But when you mentioned the war, we did still have prisoners of war working on our camp. They came from the local establishment every day. We had about four or five, and they did all the cleaning up and the sweeping and emptying the dustbin, and they were absolutely superb. They were meticulous in their work and very delightful. One was the station master of quite a big station, I think, before he was prisoner, and they came to say thank you before they left. They weren't with us very long after I got there, because I think they were repatriated.
Was it very different, though, being a Wren officer in peacetime rather than war? Did you find there was a great difference?
No, I don't think I noticed. Of course, this was very early days, and it was my first appointment, as it were, on a permanent job. The other thing I noticed at HMS Scary was that in those days the naval ratings, the men on national service, didn't have commission. So we had people like Peter May, who was the noted cricketer, and we could go watch him playing in the HMS Scary side. And Lord Norwich was, the present Lord Norwich was sent down to We had separate parting out parades and divisions for the Wrens, and I had to take the ones for the Wrens. And once the band couldn't come and help us, and so Lord Norwich was sent down with his trumpet. And he and his friends also, one Wardrum dance up in the men's, they provided the orchestra. We did take, keep the Wrenships company interested. We used to do different things and take them around to get to know the area, and we went down a mine, which was very, it's unusual. I think the Yorkshire miners don't mind women going down mines, but they did that. And they used to be a pig potato business. So then I moved to, in July '49, I went to HMS President for on the staff of the Admiral in charge of education. I didn't consider myself really qualified. Everybody else who'd done the job before me had a degree. And I had a long turnover. In those days we had Wren education officers and Petty Officer Wren's education distributed in the bigger establishments, where they helped train mostly naval rating staff. And we also had a cookery van with a third officer, cookery expert, who moved round most of the air stations, I suppose preparing the Wrens for going back into domestic chores again. There was also a drama, RN Drama Festival, and one of my jobs was supposed to be booking a small theatre for the finals, which were always held in London from all the naval establishments who'd won in different commands. But thank goodness, I suppose for expense, they decided not to have that. Well, fortunately for me, I think, there was a shortage of first officers with admin experience. So my time in London was cut short, and I was appointed after 4 months to the Royal Naval Establishment at Chatham, where I was the first officer at Wrens in the barracks. And this was my first traditional purpose-built RN establishment. And it took a little bit of time getting used to the sort of higher standards, and it was a home port with a lot of ships. And the Wren officers were accommodated in three married quarters up the hill and had their own mess. We went to mess dinners in the naval officers' mess. And we were made welcome on those occasions, but we were kept quite separate. And the Wren's accommodation was World War I huts at the end of the barracks. It was much later that they built a special block for the Wren's. And here one had great cooperation, and one was part of Commodore's staff, and went to the weekly meetings. And it was particularly interesting, I found, at that time, because the RN training was starting up. And on the administrative side, I always felt the Wrens, we'd just been thrown into the job and learned as we went along. Well, the Navy was starting up its petty officers' leadership courses and its leading hand courses. And the commander training at one of these Commodore's meetings said, what about the Wrens coming in? And so I approached headquarters through the chief officer, Moore, and they weren't really in any way enthused, but we forged ahead, and we got, of course, going petty officers from all the establishments in the Northern Command, and it was a very great success, and they valued it and felt they'd learned a lot, and the commander training ran the basic course, and I gave one or two lectures on the REM side, and so that was a very valuable start, I think, for the REMs.
Would that still have been separate, though, that training?
Yes. I think partly, again, because the men would be trained also for going to sea. So,
yes, that must have been quite an important difference, was it? You know, the sort of sea experience.
Yes, I think. And also, of course, the Conquerors were not under the Discipline Act, and we didn't have to carry arms or do guard duties. There was a lot of that sort of training and drill that didn't apply to us. Of course, the gunnery school was at Chatham, and the captain of the gunnery school at that time was Val Begg, and he was very helpful to me. Rounds were coming up for the visiting director rounds, and he said, could he come help me? So he arrived with a senior rating and two ratings. One had a bucket put any bits of paper in that they found, and another had a knife in case there were bits of string or anything that needed cutting. And he showed me, I mean, I'd done lots of rounds, but I now saw exactly how the Navy did it in a very precise way. That was very, very interesting to me. And we were due for Commodore's rounds of 1 February. And the Commodore changed it so that he would come to our rounds on Valentine's Day. We had these nice little touches, I think, weren't they? And so we sent him a Valentine card, which we made ourselves with a gold anchor going through a blue heart and a picture of a wren holding the Commodore's flag.
Could I ask what exactly a round is?
A
round. What would that be?
A round. Oh, I'm sorry, I never thought about that. Well, they inspected the whole of the quarters, including the galleys, and some of the commanding officers would look in the saucepans and all this sort of thing, and they went through the mess decks and the sleeping quarters. They always enjoyed going through sleeping quarters. The wrens were allowed to have all their teddies and their cuddly toys, and this never ceased to cause entertainment and pleasure, I think, too.
Yes, it would seem the men and women are becoming a little more merged. Is that right, at this time? There was more overlap.
Yes, I suppose we were beginning that way, but certainly the feeding and the sports and games and things, the wrens played their own, we did our own. We had cricket and squash and the usual sports. And it was there I came across the Association of Wrens, because rather arbitrarily the first officer in the barracks was automatically chairman of the local branch of the association, and our senior rates joined too. And incidentally, our senior rates were mostly, apart from Cook, Stewart and White, they were welfare Wrens, and they worked entirely with the naval families, and responsible to the commander in charge of welfare for the home port. and they were all had been in rooms for considerable time and were people of great integrity and a great support in the unit. And they all joined the Association of Wrens. And here, at that time, the chapel, which was really a big church in the back, were going to have new windows commemorating the Lord Command during the war. And the Association of Wrens wanted to have their own Wren window there, which they were allowed, and the leading light of the local branch and I went up to see Hugh Easton in his studio about he'd chosen to do St. Margaret of Antioch on a very lively looking dragon, but below he'd put a wilting sparrow on top of the Wren's crest, so I lent him a farthing so that he could draw a proper Wren, and that made a very handsome window. And Princess Elizabeth came down to unveil the windows, two of which had been given by a baker who'd been a naval rating and been conscious of the at two of the landings of a divine presence, and he was there. And my job before she came was to stand in for all the rehearsals. The Navy had dry weather rehearsals and wet weather rehearsals, so that you were ready for whatever happened. And my job was to pretend I was the princess and inspect the Royal Guard, which I did about three or four times in there, and attend the practice service in all in her place. And the Navy was so thorough, because at the rehearsal for the service, the naval ratings and others took the part of the Bishop of Rochester, for instance, that had large labels on them saying who they were. Unfortunately, the chapel and the church is no longer in use. I think it's used for computers, or the whole barracks is closed, you see. Anyhow, I thought I learnt a great deal there, and because partly I was made so much part of the Commodore's staff. And we had opportunities of going to sea. We had one day Elizabeth Maxman, which was the fastest boat in the Navy, the ship in the Navy at the time, and we went out and did North Sea trials with a party of 30 runs. And the captain had been my captain at Kingston, so that was very, very good.
Was that the captain you changed your uniform with? You changed your uniforms at the fancy dress dance. Was that the same man?
Yes, that's the same. I can't really remember.
Would that be a fairly new thing for women to have gone on trials?
Well, no, we were quite often invited to take a party on board. If they were going to sea for the day, and the captain had just taken over, and the ship's company were new, and they were working up, and so, but then from there I was promoted to chief officer. Went up to the Admiralty on the staff of the Director of Manning. And here the Wren's Manning and the Men's Manning, the recruiting and the training was all completely separate. although it came under the director of Manning, I was responsible for telling the recruiters how many they had to recruit. I got monthly return in from all the naval establishments and had to work out how many I thought should go on the next training courses. This was very tricky with the smaller categories, like the MET runs. I think there were well under 100, more like 60 in total. And you thought you got perhaps 65 or so, and you didn't know quite where to point them. And then the next return, half of them had got married and decided to go out, because they had the option of going out. If they stayed in, they had to be mobile. But if they could opt to go out in there. And so you were perhaps left with half a category, and you had to get up. And they only gave a month's notice, so it was not easy. And they called it marriage wastage. And apart from that, I very inevitably assisted the deputy. We used to do research and things for him, reading papers. And during that time, the death of King George VI occurred, and I was able to go to the lying in state. We were given seats. Again, I think it was the Wrens who were given seats, not the department. I mean, the department would have a seat, but I think I got my seat to Director Wrens in the Horse Guards Parade. And for the coronation of Queen Elizabeth, I had a seat from the Wrens outside the Admiralty.
And you would have sat there, would you? You would have been in the seat.
Yes.
That was your position.
We had so many for the senior and officers. For the fleet review, we went, the Admiralty chartered a paddle boat, that's one of the island-wide areas, I mean. There was a special train in all departments. I took my 14-year-old nephew, and we all went down on that and had a splendid day.
Yes, that must have been quite a sight, wasn't it? The fleet review.
Well, it was good weather too. So we weren't immediately, obviously, behind the Royal Yacht, but we were in the train that went round all the ships and had our picnic lunch on board.
And that would have been the date of that would have been.
But that was 53. Of course, the funeral was 52. And I went on leave to Malta to stay with friends that just after that, it used to be. And we all had to take black or grey dresses for evening entertainment as they were in mourning for 6 months. And I'd like to mention here my director at that time, Dame Mary Lloyd, who was a most attractive woman with a lovely personality and a very strong faith. She was a Roman Catholic. But she was so approachable and fun too, and very much in touch. She was a natural leader, and I think not a great administrative or person, but just a lovely person to have as director. And I know she went on board. She was the only woman, apart from the Queen and the Lady in Waiting, who was dined on board after the fleet review at Portsmouth.